All right, well, tell me his name again. Jesus. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is nobody like Jesus. I'll tell you what, you won't find anybody like him. Listen, there are many, many imitations, but you're never going to find anybody like my Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a lot of counterfeits out there, but I'll tell you what, he's the real deal. How do you know he's the real deal? Because he saved me. Well, I'm not so sure about, that and 20 bucks will buy you a new shirt. Help yourself. That's the way it is. Amen. I would never try to force somebody to get saved. I can offer it, because if I forced you, then what you'll do is you'll have buyer's regret. You ever had buyer's regret? You bought something, you got home, and you're going, man. Now listen, I regret a lot of things in my life, but I never went home and said, man, I wished I hadn't got saved. Nope. Never. You know what I did? I always went home and cried tears and said, I wish I was better. I wish I was a better Christian. I wish I was a better husband. I wish I was a better dad. I wish I was a better soul winner. I wish I had more compassion. But I never went home and said, you know what? I wish I'd have never got saved. Never happened. All right, if you got your Bible, and I hope you do, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to take time, just go over a couple of things this evening on what's going to happen after the rapture of the church. Now, we ain't going to be here, so really, you might want to know. Because where we're going, we ain't going to be thinking about down here. It's not going to be on our priority list about what's going on down here, so I thought we'd kind of review a couple of things that's going to happen here on this earth after we're gone. If you're saved in here tonight, and you have asked Christ to be your Savior, and let me say this one more time, salvation is a free gift. I don't care what's over the door of the church. Amen. I don't care if it's Baptist, if it's Methodist, if it's Church of God, if it's Catholic, or everything. That has to do with right doctrine and living right. That has nothing to do with salvation. Amen. But salvation is a free gift, and it's in a man, and it's not in a church. Baptism will not save you. Amen. Listen. Giving your money to the church will not save you. Amen. You can be a member of whatever and it will not save you. You've got to receive that free gift that God gives. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Not a church, Him should not perish and have everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ with thy mouth, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Him. Glory to God for that. Why? Because I could have messed up and picked any kind of church. Man, I've been in all kinds of churches. I've been in a Church of God. I've been in a Catholic church. I even attended a Baptist church for a little while. None of them would save me. I thank God I found my Savior on March the 27th, 1995. And it was in a little church, and it was in the pastor's office, but he didn't save me, and that church didn't save me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, looking in verse 13. We'll start there. Now, I have used this many times at the gravesite of a loved one or a saved individual. When I was standing at the graveside and doing the graveside service, a lot of times I'll use this verse here. These verses. He says, I would have you not ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now listen, we've got to define the thing real quick, because a lot of people have problem defining the Bible. The Bible will define the Bible. Very easy. We know that here, this asleep is those that are dead. How do you know that, preacher? Because Lazarus over there, the Lord tells them, he tells his disciples, he sleepeth. And they say, oh, well, he's doing good then. If he's sleeping, he'll get rest. Then he looked at them and told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So now with that explanation, I know that not all the time, but when there pertains to death, the Bible will use the terminology asleep. Why? Because the dead in Christ are going to come out. Just like a man wakes up, we don't do soul sleep here. They're not out there sleeping in that coffin. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Bible with Bible, Scripture with Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Listen, they're asleep and it's going to wake up and become a new, and it will meet that soul in the air. Now notice what we said. We, brother, would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Listen, we that are saved do not sorrow like the lost dying world. We sorrow because of separation. We don't sorrow because we're not going to see them again, because we will see them again. I will see my brother again. And when I see him, he'll no longer be crippled. He'll be on 2 feet. He'll be in a right mind. He'll be able to talk and converse with me. He'll be able to hug me and love me and do those things that he couldn't do when he was on this earth. I'll see him again. I'll see my mother again. I'll see my father again. There are some that I won't see again. But there are a lot that I will see again. I will see friends in the Christian faith again. And he says, those even as those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Jesus Christ tells you over in John, he says, I go and prepare a place that where I am, ye may be also. And if it were not so, I would told you. But in my Father's house are many mansions. So that where I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. The Lord's going to receive us unto himself. So we're going to be out of the picture, but what's going to be happening here on earth? Well, I'll tell you what's going to be happening here on earth. The first thing I'm going to tell you what's going to happen is there's going to be a great confusion on this earth. All of a sudden, people are going to disappear. Take your Bible and notice with me over in Matthew chapter 24. And I'm going to take Matthew chapter 24 and I'm going to use it as an example. You say, why are you saying it like that, preacher? Because we don't have time to go in with rightly dividing, but if we did, you would understand. But it makes a good picture. It makes a good example of something. It's a type. Now notice what's going on here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37. But as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Whereas in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Be. Now notice, there shall be two in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, and the other left. In other words, what's going to happen is there's going to be a groups of people, and people are just going to disappear. Now, I personally have my belief on this, and I'm going to give you my personal belief. Notice I said my personal belief. And I believe this. And my personal belief are like armpits. I got two of them and they both stink. Amen? So don't try to buy into this and say, well, you know, he's making it. No, I'm not trying to do anything. But I believe there's some things that ain't going to go. Now, I know for the Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That means your bones can't. That means that this flesh is changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye. So that just leaves your blood. And I personally don't believe your blood's going. I believe when the rapture happens, you're going to drop them clothes, and there's going to be a pile of blood where you're sitting. And you're going to be gone and changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye. How do you know that? Well, the Michael, the archangel, argued with Satan over the bones of Moses. Amen? So there's something important about bones. Bones have something. Then you have the bones, and then the Bible tells me that this corruptible shall put on incorruption. Amen? This mortality shall put on immortality. Well, friend, whether you know it or not, if you study any biology, do you know what kills you? Your blood. Your blood kills you. That is the thing that's going to kill you. If you get cancer and it gets in your bloodstream, guess what? It goes everywhere. If you get a virus and it gets in your bloodstream, it goes everywhere. If you get a blood clot in your foot and it gets in your bloodstream and breaks loose, guess where it goes? Your heart, your brain. You know what's going to kill you? Your blood. Why? Because the Bible says the life is in the... There you go. So I personally believe that when we leave this place, we leave this life. And I put on a new life, immortal, in Jesus Christ. And I won't need that blood anymore. I don't need to take it. It doesn't need to be changed. I don't need it. I'm not going to have to worry about eating, sleeping, or anything else. Amen. So I personally believe there's going to be a great confusion. People are going to be left. People are going to be taken. People are going to be running around screaming UFOs. The UFOs got them, man. They come down here. The little gray guys got them. And they're taking them back to the mothership, and they took them all away. But the problem is going to be is churches are still going to be here. Why? Because there's a lot of people that attend the church that aren't saved. Listen, in the body of Christ, there is no lost people. But in the local church, there are lost people. And so the local church will still be here. The church building will still be here. And you know what? A lot of people are going to come to Lee's Chapel Baptist Church looking for answers, and we're going to be gone. And a lot of other churches are going to be that way. And then there's going to be some churches that are open, and they'll be going, well, we don't know what happened. Y'all come on in. So there's going to be a mass confusion. And, of course, they'll be rejoicing that we're gone. Once everything settles out and the news media breaks in and gets it all calmed down, they'll be going, well, you know, We're finally rid of those. If we look on the bright side, I want to give you my opinion on it. I think it's great. What do you mean you think it's great? All these people are gone. Well, now hear me out. It was all of those that were just misogynistic, homophobic individuals. Those Bible thumpers. Aren't you glad they're gone? Well, now that I look at it from your point of view, I sure am glad they're gone. It's probably going to be a better world. Let's just hold hands and sing Kumbaya. So there's going to be an initial confusion. And then there's going to be a great rejoicing that you, which are the scourge of the earth, are gone. Because that's the way they look at you. The Bible says that you're the salt of the earth. The Bible says that you're a light. And that you give out a light, Jesus Christ, and you let your light shine. And a salt, you know what a salt does? A salt is savored. It gives taste. It has healing properties. And we could go back and we could look at all the scriptures dealing with salt and light and all those things. But the thing is that the world doesn't like that. That's why they make medicine now that's sweet and palatable. See, when I was a kid, medicine wasn't sweet or palatable. How many of y'all remember that when you were kids? A lot of you older people, yeah, older than me, you just took it. And you didn't spit it out because mama was there with a belt. And she'd give you that spoonful and you spit it out, I'll beat you to death. Now that was before DHS. See, they could do that back then. And so they'd give you that medicine, man, and that medicine would taste terrible. Didn't have bubble gum. There wasn't no blueberries or none of that stuff, man. It took terrible, boy, and you took it. Today, the problem is that everybody needs to be sugar-coated and it has to be palatable. And the problem is they don't like preaching like this because it's not palatable. And so they'll be glad when we're gone. They'll be glad when you're gone, because you tell them, because you care. Listen, if you care about somebody, you tell them. You tell them, man, you need to get saved. Listen, friend, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. What do you dare you tell me I'm going to go to hell? I said, I didn't. You don't have to go, but that's all they hear. Listen, I have been on the street hundreds of times. And you know what? I never preach on hell on the street. Any of these guys that go with me can testify that I never preach on hell. And they still get mad at me. I preach, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God. That's what I pray. That's what I preach. And they still get mad. Why? Because all they hear is hell. Hell, hell, you're mean, you're hateful, why are you hollering, why are you yelling, there's got to be a better way. Have you ever run into I've run into Christians, there's got to be a better way, but they never tell you what the better way is when you ask them. Well, how do you do it? Well, I don't do it. Oh, well, that explains it. There's going to be a great confusion. But there will be churches and there will be professionals. In other words, I'm not scared to say that unless that individual is saved, then I would say there's a church down there in Texas that runs about 3,000 that will be open. And he will be up there. And I would say there's going to be quite a few TV preachers that are going to be there. Why? Because they're money men. They're professionalists. They're not in it for souls. They're in it to make money. And they're trying to scam any little old lady that they can scam, or any little old man, or any other sucker that'll give them money. And if you gave them money, quit doing it. Don't be a sucker. Well, what do you do with it? Give it to missions. Well, I don't know of a mission board. Well, there's a missionary right there. He'll take it. And I promise you, he'll put it to good use. You don't even have to give it to this church. You can give it straight to him. Amen. So there'll be a great confusion on the earth. But there'll also then, after all that settles down, there'll be the manifestation of the Antichrist. Because see, when you take something away and the Holy Spirit is gone and removes off the earth, then the Antichrist, now listen, you can feel it today. Now I was born in 1960. I can tell a definite difference between then and now. And you've heard me tell my testimony about where my mom and dad, when they quit going to church, like a light switch was turned off in our home. Because there was no more God in our home. It's like somebody went in there and turned the lights off. And it just went dark. That's what I feel today. Dark. That's what this world. The power of the Antichrist is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And having more influence in the world. And it's quenching more Christians. And it's causing Christians to shrink back because they're afraid. Because they know that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And they know they don't read their Bible and they don't pray, so they're not able to do battle. So they shrink back. They're scared. That's the world today. That's most churches today. They shrink back. They don't want to be bold. They're not bold as lions. Supposed to be bold. Supposed to be bold as a lion, man, and let our light shine and give forth the truth of the Bible and let the chips fall where they fall. And man, if it hurts your feelings, I'm sorry. I'll pray for you. But that's the truth. People can't take it. You got to have it bubblegum flavored. You got to have it blueberry, mooberry, or cinnamon or something. But the Antichrist will come up on the scene. Notice with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Notice with me in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Would you agree with me compared to the 1950s, 60s, and 70s? That there is not a falling away from churches? The only churches that you see are mega churches are places where they're preaching anything, but they're not preaching anything controversial. In other words, they're not preaching truth. Because truth is controversial. Truth, when you tell somebody truth, it hurts. The truth hurts. I tell my girls all the time, I say, listen, you got to quit bringing these ugly boys to the house. It hurts. I know it hurts them. But they're ugly. And Matt, why don't you pick some good-looking young men? Some nice young men. Pick these ugly boys. See, but the truth hurts. My wife tells me, you need to lose weight. I'm fat. That hurts. I'm in shape. Round is a shape. But the truth does hurt. The doctor, he don't have a problem telling me, listen, fat boy, you better lose some weight because your cholesterol is out of the roof and your blood pressure, we're going to have to up your medicine. I don't like it, but it's the truth. See, used to, we didn't get upset when we got told the truth. Now, how many of y'all's daddy ever told y'all the truth? I mean, just told you like you're supposed to be told. My daddy, my favorite, and y'all know it, my favorite saying my daddy told me, boy, you're going to be stupid, you better be tough. You ain't the brightest crayon. So you better be tough. Well, that was truth. But anymore, we'll get upset and start dialing DHS. My mama told me I can't play my Nintendo Switch. They get upset. Can't take the truth. But the Antichrist will come onto the scene. Listen, it's going to happen and he's going to come on there and there's a great falling away. So when the rapture happens, we're already in this falling away period. Then the rest of them are going to fall away and the Antichrist is going to come up on the scene and he's going to have all the answers. But the problem is he's going to have the worldly answers that you're looking for. They're not going to be spiritual answers. They're going to be worldly answers. And sadly to say, that's what people are looking for. They're looking for worldly answers. You know what 90% of young people today, because they have been taught in school, are socialist? They're socialist. They have socialist. They think the government can solve their problem. Now see, I am a capitalist. Why? Because I would rather have no help from the government and either lose or succeed on my own merit than be able to keep whatever I make. I'm a capitalist. That's what I am. But most young people today, because they're taught and educated to be socialists, that the government can solve their problem. Why is that so important in a Christian realm? It's so important in a Christian realm because exactly how the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He's going to be a religious, political leader. He's going to fill two slots. He's going to be religious and political. And he's going to solve all the problem in the Middle East. He's going to get that Arab and he's going to get that Jew and he's going to bring them together and he's going to bring one accord. And everybody's going to love him. He's going to be the greatest thing on this earth since sliced bread. Amen. Why does that? We're not going to be here. But the world will think he is the greatest thing and they will follow after him. Matter of fact, they'll fall over themselves to get to him. And that is the educational system that is preparing it. What? That falling away. It's a falling away. Now, so he will be manifest, the Antichrist, the nature of the Antichrist. He will be an imitator of the true Christ. In other words, he will reveal himself as Christ, but he's not. But the problem is that because they have never read a Bible, they've never gotten the truth or listened to the truth, they're not going to recognize it. Listen, I have been in restaurants years ago. We had guys come up to the table. I had a buddy of mine. He was great with magic tricks. He could do sleight of hand in front of you, buddy. And you'd be like, where did he do that? How did he do that? I mean, he could double palm the cards, man. I mean, he could do it. And make it look just as smooth and clean. And that's how the Antichrist is going to do it. Just like that magician does those tricks, he's going to do that. And man, you know what them people are going to believe? they're going to believe that He is Christ, that He is the Messiah. And those that have heard the gospel and rejected it, the Bible says they'll be sent strong delusions to believe a lie. And so they'll be fooled by it. And you've heard, if you've been in my Sunday school class, I showed you over there where Elijah took a whole army and disillusioned them and led them someplace. And that's exactly what will happen. You mess with God and God will mess with your mind. I'm just telling you. And they'll do that and they'll think He's it. And you won't be able to convince them otherwise. And so now we've got all these things, and I know people, they get upset and they say, well, you shouldn't take the shot. Take the shot. Don't take. Listen, do whatever you think you need to do. Why? Because it don't matter right now. It's not the mark of the Antichrist. You know, that cross, man, that shot, that's the mark of the Antichrist. They're going to put nanos in you. Well, they may put nanos in you. But it's still not the mark. Do whatever you need to do. Is it a forerunner? Yeah, it's a type. Are they building the technology? They sure are. Elon Musk is fitting to put a chip in somebody's head. You can't tell me that ain't a step that way. Well, is that chip the Antichrist? Is that the mark? No. It's not. It's just a chip. Is it part of it? Yeah. It's getting there. Every time you see something like that, just remember, you're one day close. Y'all start doing rapture practice. It's what y'all be doing, rapture practice, man. Because every time you read something like that, we're one day closer. One step closer, brother. And the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and he is going to make people believe that he is the true Christ. He will be an imitator of the true Christ. Take your Bible and go over to Revelation chapter 6. We've got to move. I'm sitting around. We're getting too stagnant here. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I saw and heard as it was a noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth to conquer, or went forth conquering and to conquer. That is not Jesus Christ. Shocked some of y'all. Jesus Christ does not use a bow. The bowman. That's not Christ. But he looks like Christ. He's on a white horse like Christ. He has a crown. He's conquering. You know that the devil is a great imitator of Jesus Christ? He is. Jesus Christ is a lion of the tribe of Judah. The devil is a lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is an angel. He can transform into an angel of light. He is a cherub from the beginning, but he can transform himself into an angel of light. Jesus Christ is the angel of the Lord. Amen? Jesus Christ has a church. The devil has a church. Jesus Christ has a Bible. The devil has a Bible. Jesus Christ has followers. The devil has followers. And brother, he is so close, if you don't stay in your book, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. He can quote Scripture. Bible says over there in Ezekiel chapter 28, he's talking about the devil. He says, thou hast the wisdom, exceeded the wisdom of Daniel. Daniel was a spiritual man. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Daniel wasn't worried about the lion's den. He said, thou hast exceeded the wisdom. Thou wast perfect in the day that thou wast created, he said. He's perfect in the day he was created. He can quote Scripture. And you know what? Now the Holy Spirit's going to be moved off the earth. He's going to come in and he's going to show himself and he's going to fool everybody because he's going to be like an angel of light. And then once he gets everybody, then he's going to take his mask off and show you exactly what it is. But it's going to be too late then. He's got you. And he'll come in and he'll do that man, and he's gonna draw everybody to him. Why? Because as the Holy Spirit goes away, he's going to be able to do miracles. He's going to be able to raise the dead. He's going to be able to do all the things that Jesus Christ did. Why was he not able to do it? Because the Holy Spirit's gone now. Nothing is restraining him. He can do all of it. God's turned it over to him. The Bible says that he is the God of this world. Why is he the God of this? Because God allows him to be the God of this world. And the children of this world, their eyes are blinded. See, I had blind eyes until I got saved. My eyes were blinded. Listen, he'll be an imitator of the true Christ. He'll be a religious leader over in Revelation chapter 13 and in verse 6. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He's a religious leader. He blasphemes. It says there in Revelation that he'll go in the Holy of Holies and sit down on the Holy of Holies and declare himself to be God. He's a religious leader. He's a political leader. Notice verse 13, chapter 13, and notice and look in verse 17. And no man might buy or sell save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. He has a political control. See, the Antichrist is going to take complete autonomous control. How's he going to do it? He's got to destroy America first. America is too strong. Every country in this world can be brought under the umbrella. But America. America has yet to be brought up. It's going. It's going. Man, it's going quick. And the administrations that we've had are just helping it along. You say, well, what do you... Listen, I'm not Republican or Democrat. Yeah, listen, I don't go for the donkey or the elephant. You better go for the lamb. Amen? And I'm telling you, it's going that way. And once they destroy America, because America, whether you believe it or not, if you ever get a chance to travel, the American dollar, wherever you're at in the world, will speak. You pull out an American dollar, American money, I don't care if you're in Afghanistan, I don't care if you're in Russia, you pull out American money and they'll go, "What you need, buddy?" Because that is the trade currency. That is the gold standard. Amen. But once America is tore down and they can bring it under, and where is it going to be brought under? The UN, United Nations, and the devil, the Antichrist, is going to be ruling from there. I believe that with all my heart. Why? Because the way it's set up is perfect. And they'll bring them under there. Everything will come under that umbrella. Declaration of Independence, your documents of declarations, the Bill of Rights, they'll take a match to that and burn it, gone, forget it, no longer exists. You now are under the United Nations. They've been trying to do that for years, friend. Did you not know that? Do you not see? You don't pay attention. You don't read your Bible. If you'll read your Bible and lift your head, you'll see all kinds of things. The United Nations for years have been trying to implement trade agreements with the U.S. so that the U.S., one of them was their handgun bill that they introduced. And they've introduced numerous bills. And you know what they do? Listen, when you have a treaty, and I know I got to close here because I could spend all night on it. But when you have a treaty with a country, that treaty supersedes any laws that are present in that country. In other words, when you have a treaty, if we have a treaty, let's say with Turkey, we've got a treaty, a peace treaty. When a diplomat comes from Turkey, he has diplomatic... Well, how did he get that? Through that treaty. He is not subject to the laws of the United States. So therefore, that supersedes the Declaration of Independence. So when the United Nations introduces something like that handgun bill, it would supersede all law enforcement. You would have no choice, brother, but to obey it, or you would lose your job. See? And they just circumnavigated the Declaration of Independence. How'd they do it? By chipping away at the very foundation of what we believe and what we're established on. And that's where it's heading. And it's heading that way like a bullet, and the Antichrist is just around the corner. And I believe, I personally believe, before this lifetime's over, and I may get to see it, may, it'll be happened. America will be no longer. America's not guaranteed in the Bible. There's nowhere that red, white, and blue is going to be over there in Revelation. People say, well, that's the eagle. Well, you can hope that it is, but I doubt it. See, that's heartbreaking because I love my country. My dad fought under that flag. We've got people in this room that are loved ones that have died under that flag. I've got cousins that died in Vietnam under that flag. You've got people that have died for this country under that flag. I don't like that, but it's still the truth. See, the truth is not always palatable and tasty. Very quickly, he's a political leader, he's a religious leader, and he's an economic leader. This will be known as the time of great tribulation. We will, for the sake of time, we won't turn there, but you can go over to Zephaniah chapter 1. And they're in 14 through 18. And it talks about that. And of course, you can go over into Revelation and you can see where the Lord opens up the seals and the bowls and the trumpets and pours out the wrath of His wrath upon the earth and the inhabitants on the earth, those that are left here. That won't be us. Listen, not one part of your fingernail is going into the tribulation. I don't care what any preacher tells you. The Bible plainly tells you you're not appointed under the day of wrath. You're not appointed. Your righteousness is His, not ours. And He has had all the wrath that's going to be poured on Him. He's done. He's no longer the sacrificial lamb. He comes back. He's going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and there ain't nobody going to put a hand on Him anymore. The only thing that's going to be put is He's going to be putting His foot on somebody's neck. So if you think you're going into Revelation, you're wrong. Or the tribulation, you're wrong. You're not going if you're saved. If you're lost, you better get saved because you're going to bust it wide open. It's going to be a period of the great tribulation. Now, can anyone be saved during this time? Well, in Revelation chapter 7, there is a way for salvation. God is gracious and merciful in all situations. But it's not free given like it is now. Notice in Revelation chapter 7, very quickly in verse 9. And after this, behold, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and the elders and the four beasts fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, and blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever. Amen. That is not the church. You're the bride. This is a group of people that have gotten saved in the tribulation. That is not you. You don't wave any palm fronds. You know what you do? You rule and reign with Christ. At the judgment seat, when we're done, and we're preparing for the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we've got everything straight with our betrothed. Now you say, well, who's going to be there? Anybody that's saved. I don't care what church they're in. If they're saved, they're part of the bride, and that's where they're going to be. They are not there. They are with Him behind the throne. Amen. We are not in front of Him. We're not judged at the great white throne judgment. We're judged at the judgment seat of Christ for what we've done in the body, whether it be good or bad. Those are rewards. It has nothing to do with our eternal salvation. That's a fixed item. You've got to be able to understand the difference between state and standing. My state is fixed in Jesus Christ. My standing may vary. I'll give you a quick example of it. I have 7 kids. Every one of my 7 kids are my 7 kids. No matter what they do, how many of you boys were told when you were young by your daddy, listen, your last name's Scruggs, son. I've worked hard to make that a good name in this town. Don't ruin it. Was you ever told that? I was told that. Now, I've got several of my kids that, well, one of them, she's been in and out of jail so many times, it's like on a revolving door policy. Is she still my kid? But her standing may not be all that good sometimes, because I may be mad at her, but she's still my kid. Listen, I'm saved by the blood of Christ. My state is that I'm always saved. But I may not always please Him. I may let my flesh get me in trouble. I may say something. I may do something, and He has to get on to me. And I have to get it right. Then I get back in good standing, just like you do with your kids. It's the same thing. That's why He gives you that illustration. That's why He set it up the way He set it up, so that you could understand it. So understand there's a difference between state and standing. That's why you are not going to be judged at the great white throne. You're going to be judged for what you did, your works. That's where you get your reward. You get a reward or you won't get a reward by what you did at the judgment seat of Christ. But here He says many will be saved in that day, and they will be. Not only that, but it'll be hard for a person that's heard the gospel to be saved. And I gave you that. That's back over in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They'll be sent strong delusions to believe a lie. That's why it's so important for us as Christians to preach the gospel, to give the gospel. Why? So that people will get saved. Salvation is the greatest thing. And we need to be better soul winners. Why? Because the time is at hand. Folks, listen, I hope you understand that I was not joking. The time is at hand. When I say it's at hand, it could happen any moment. With the administrations that we're having right now, the last couple of administrations and all that's going on in Washington, friend, I'm telling you, we are the last peg. And the only reason God hasn't took it out by now is because of righteous individuals praying and begging God for loved ones. But even at that, at some point, God's going to say, enough, it's done, it's over. And we need to be busy doing what we need to be doing, which is telling people about Jesus Christ. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Listen, I would rather offend them now than have to look at them when they're being tossed into hell. And him look at me and go, you didn't tell me. Why didn't you tell me? So would you rather hurt somebody's feelings here for just a little while and then maybe he get convicted and get saved? Or would you rather wait and see him when he is judged at the great white throne and his name is not in the book and they toss him into hell and he sees you when he goes by? You tell me. I would much rather offend him. Listen, I believe, I cannot remember the brother's name. He's a brother way back. He said if somebody goes to hell, they ought to have to go to hell diving over our bodies as we throw ourselves in front of them. That's how radical a soul winner he was. Problem is we don't care about souls no more. Souls are, here's the track. I did my job. Oh, I'm so tired. I need to go back and watch a Netflix movie. Amen? We got stacks by the bajillion. I thank God for Lee's Chapel. Because you guys are track passing monsters. And I love it. I do. I mean, in the Christmas parade, we got off, what, 2,500 tracks? I don't know how many of y'all get out every week or every other week up there in Knoxville. And him sending them off to the Philippines and different places. And then you as individuals going and you're putting them out. Listen, there ought to be tracks. Well, now I understand that that's not the culmination of personal work, but that's a start. All right, stand with me. I berated you enough. You're already tired. You know, used to, you could preach for 2 hours, and man, people just sit there. Now, anymore, if you get over 45 minutes, people are like, oh, preacher. Why? Because we're weak. We are. Now, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just saying the truth. We're weak. We are weak and tender. And I'm telling you, that's another exact reason why it's going to be so easy when they take over America. Now, listen, I understand there's going to be pockets of us old boys. And let me make this clear. We're praying. We're going to get done. I promise. You got to pick the hill you're willing to die on, friend. You got to pick the hill. Because the Bible clearly says, he that lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Now listen, if you come in and attack my family or break in my house, I'm willing to die by the sword. In other words, I'm going to try my best to kill you. Because you're going to hurt my family. You're going to come into my house, you're going to try to hurt my family. Now I'll pray over you. I'll even try to witness to you while you're bleeding out. I promise you, I will. And I don't mean, I know that sounds kind of funny, but I mean that. But you have to pick the hill whether you're going to die over it. Now there will be a pocket of us that'll go, you know what? I'm just going to have to go out in the blaze of glory. And we'll do that. And that's the way we'll go. I understand we're not going to stop what's going to happen. But you have to pick the hill. And there are some hills worth dying on. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you, Lord. I didn't mean to wax political, Father, and that's not what I'm trying to be. But, Father, I also know the truth, and the Antichrist is real. The devil is just as real as heaven is real. And that, Father, he wants to destroy. He's the author of confusion, and anything that he can do to mess anything up, he will. And that, Father, that this nation, this great nation that you've blessed beyond all other nations except for Israel, has come a long way in a short period of time. And, Father, I understand the downfall of it. Father, help us to go out, Father, doing right. And Father, help us to pick the right hills to die on. And Lord, we just want to honor you and be good soldiers and good sons and good stewards. Bless your people now, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're at liberty.